I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Yeah.
What's up, Wisconsin? I hope it is as beautiful where you are as it is where Brian and I are in the beautiful heart of downtown Waukesha. It's just gorgeous out. Days do not get any better than this. If you are listening to the radio, I hope it is on the Civic Media app while you are enjoying the great outdoors here in our beautiful state of Wisconsin. He's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a great show for you today. I'm going to be talking a bit about the RNC platform. I'm going to be joined by my special guest co-host, Tom Pulsiewicz, a guy I like to call one of the most reasonable men in politics. He's a small business owner, a Navy veteran, and a former congressional candidate. So lots coming your way. For those of you who like watching us, we are always available on YouTube, X, and Instagram. You can check us out there as long as I have my camera actually on. That's very helpful, Brian, don't you think?
Sometimes it is necessary for the visual component, but you never know when there's an issue or not. And I like to let you figure it out, and then you know we put it on the air when you're ready, and it's good to go.
It's good to go. What we won't be talking about today is the Brewers' abysmal loss and our bullpen a little thin these days, but we're going to have another great game at AmFam Field tonight. Brewers playing game two of a three-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. As you always know, I will be listening and or watching. I'm a glutton some days. I have to admit it.
Tomorrow's a really good, if you're going to watch, if you just like baseball in general, tomorrow's a really good game to pay attention to because they're playing against Paul Skeens, who is a dude my size, throws over 100 just, you know, as regular. And
with he's like the John Daly of pitchers, right?
Precision. He's precise, and he throws 100-something, and his changeup is at 90.
Trying to hit a hardball changeup at 90 miles an hour is nearly an impossible human feat. When batters connect, I'm always incredibly impressed. I like watching big dudes pitch. It's so against type. So impressive. Again, it's John Daly hitting the long ball off the tees, you know?
Fun fact, I know everybody's not a Cubs fan and everything, but fun fact, they just called up a rookie named Biggie, B-I-G-G-E, right? He's from Harvard, and he throws 100, and he's an average but shorter than average kind of pitcher, right? They also have a guy on their team named Luke Little, who is 6'7", 6'9".
So they got Biggie and Little, is that what you're telling me?
And by the way, they are the opposite of what their names are. So Luke Little is a gigantic 6'7", 6'9", guy, and Biggie is a diminutive, not necessarily tiny guy, but shorter than, definitely Biggie and Little. It's really awesome.
I love it. I'm always up for a little ironic twist. It's enjoyable. Little cognitive dissonance, if you will. That's always enjoyable. Listen, there's just a small event happening in Milwaukee next week, Brian. I think it has something to do with the election this fall. Yes, of course, everybody knows well that the Republican National Convention is coming to this beautiful, amazing, wonderful, safe, prosperous city of Milwaukee next week. Don't worry, Civic Media is going to be there. So excited about this. It's running through the 15th through the 18th, so this is Monday through Thursday. There's going to be evening coverage here on Civic Media each of those nights from 7 to 8 p.m. Now, of course, our news director, Terry Bell, is going to be in the convention itself in Fiserv Forum, and many of us, many of myself included, but many of my hosts on the network will take news updates and, you know, what I like to call a vibe check from Terry throughout the day. And Todd Alba is also going to be broadcasting live from the convention. All of us, I think myself, Earl Ingram, Jane Matinere from Matinere on Air, we're all going to be right adjacent to the convention. We'll have a view of the convention center and the Fiserv. We're going to be in the mix. I myself am going to be going down to the convention during the day before my show to talk to some of the people down there. How can I miss that opportunity in my own city of birth? So you're not going to want to miss a minute of Civic Media's RNC coverage. I've got some special guests that I am working on for next week for the convention, hoping to get some recovering Republicans and current Republicans to come on the air. I like to call these folks the reasonable conservatives, that they do exist. They do exist. They are out there. Again, really looking forward to the coverage today, as I promised yesterday. Tom Paulswitz and I are going to be talking about the RNC platform. I don't know if I can really call it a platform, right? Platitudes. Ah, that's what we should call it. The RNC platitudes, because there is zero, not a zippo, zilch detail of any variety. I will remind everyone that back in 2016, the RNC platform was like a 60-page kind of encyclopedic, very detail-oriented document. Yeah, not so much anymore. It is not a platform. It is RNC platitudes.
Are they like
basically
manifesting? Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Is this like manifesting abundance? And like,
it's very much that, yes, type of stuff? Well, one might call it prosperity theology on crack, perhaps. A way to explain it. And I have some, I have some reflections. I want to end the day today. And Brian, do not let me forget to do this. I'm going to give you a final thought, because it has been a really, I think, incredibly trying time for all of us. And I don't care what end of the political spectrum you're on. It's just emotionally really trying. I had a very, very hard day yesterday. And sometimes I think in the middle of heavy emotions, there can be clarity. Sometimes it clouds your judgment, but on other occasions, it can be really clarifying. I'm going to give everybody some what I hope are clarifying thoughts in this extraordinary moment that we're in, that I hope speaks really to anybody out there. It doesn't matter your politics. So I'm going to do that at the very end of the show today. That's going to be my final segment. Do not go anywhere. I'm going to be getting to that. Maggie Dawn's final thoughts in this moment as we get ready for the RNC. Again, had some clarity last evening, trying to find and make some sense of all that is happening. Thank you, Lynn from Oconomowoc. She was one of our ticket winners. She's sending us some beautiful photos of Lynn and her guests at the Brewers game last night. I'm sorry it was such a blowout, Lynn, but I'm glad that you and your family enjoyed and your friends had a good old time in the Civic Media seats. That is just wonderful. I also wanted to give a shout out. Civic Media is hosting and broadcasts every Tuesday night tribute concerts live from downtown Waukesha. Last night was Justin Timberlake. I forgot to mention it on the air yesterday. But if you're in and around southeastern Wisconsin, especially if you're an AUK listener and you enjoy getting together with your community and hanging out in a beautiful park every Tuesday evening, Civic Media on AUK, we have tribute concerts that we broadcast in partnership with the Les Paul Performance Center in Waukesha. Awesome. Last night was little Justin Timberlake, which I know you're a big fan of, Brian. So all good.
Yeah, wanted to be there. I wanted to be there. My buddy Casper was running the show, and it sounded fantastic.
It did. Schedule it. If you can't be there in person, just download the Civic Media app. Pick AUK, and you can check out our broadcast of those tribute concerts every Tuesday night in the summer.
I believe they are first Tuesday a month. Second Thank Tuesday. You. I'm getting
this
the information
is, this is why
right
Brian's
now.
Around. Yeah.
Second Tuesday every month.
I wanted to start today by talking about, since, RNC is imminent, it is happening, I wanted to talk a little bit about what has gotten some press coverage, but which I, as a former Milwaukee County top lawyer, I used to work for the city back in the day, and as someone who works in government and was really tasked many times with having to balance, the interests of free speech with safety and security in county facilities or public buildings, And certainly before COVID hit, we were grappling with these issues leading up to the DNC. But all of the coverage around the coalition to march on the RNC 2024, who had filed a lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee, the RNC, and other entities, including the Secret Service. They filed this lawsuit last month, alleging that the city's protest plans and effectively their permitting process for the RNC violated the U.S. Constitution. It's a fascinating case, right? Because fundamentally, what we've got here are two great values, very simply stated, our free speech rights and the right for those conducting the convention and those participating in the convention to be safe, right? As well as the surrounding community in which the convention is taking place. Now, when we think about civil disobedience, I've talked about this before on the show, it contemplates some kind of law breaking. And so we're going to talk about this after we take our first quick break here, a couple of very important messages. This is a quick one, folks, so don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back. There was a key decision that came down from U.S. Eastern District of Wisconsin Judge Brett Ludwig. He was a Trump appointee, and I know this judge a bit because in my capacity as Milwaukee County's lawyer during the recount in 2020, Milwaukee County appeared, albeit virtually, before Judge Ludwig related to Donald Trump's challenges related to the recount. So lots of interesting backstory here. If you like the wonk, we've got some of that coming up for you. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. As ever and always, we want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to dig into this lawsuit brought by some protesters that are going to be at the RNC, and I'll tell you the most recent breaking news updates from the last 24 hours related to that lawsuit. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be back with you in just a moment. May the last one burn into flames.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
I haven't. Maybe a little naughty, but not necessarily bad. But you all can be the judge of that. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Welcome back. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network on this a very, very beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I hope it's just as gorgeous where you are as it is where Brian and I are. Let's talk about the lawsuit brought by a group that has been very vocal about their intent to protest at the RNC. Again, this organization's name is the Coalition to March on the RNC 2024. They filed the lawsuit last month claiming that the rules and the prescribed parade route for the protesters to use for the RNC was basically a First Amendment violation, a violation of their free speech rights. Why? Because the route does not place them within, quote, sight and sound of the major convention site, which is the Fiserv Forum. So there's three buildings, if you're not sort of in the details of this, that sort of comprise the convention area. It's the Fiserv Forum, the UW Panther Arena. It's about a block and a half away from Fiserv. And then what is now known as the Baird Convention Center, formerly the Wisconsin Center District. We know it by a whole slew of different names. It was, you want to go way back in the day, it used to be the Midwest Express Center back when there were warm chocolate chip cookies on every flight. But again, those are the three buildings. The main action where you know, the things that you'll see on TV and in civic media's daily evening coverage from 7 to 8 p.m. across our network, what you will be seeing is within the Fiserv Forum. Again, that's where civic media's news director, Terry Bell, is going to be. But the parade route doesn't put them adjacent to Fiserv. That was really the core of the legal claim that they made. However, on Monday, Judge Brett Ludwig wrote that the protest group cannot cross into the hard security perimeter, and it's the hard security perimeter that really surrounds and protects Fiserv Forum. He wrote that the defendants, which included, again, the city and the U.S. Secret Service, demonstrated that they balance the protesters' right to express themselves with the, quote, legitimate security and other governmental interests. He said that the majority of the security plan was a reasonable and valid restriction on free speech. He also said this, quote, the coalition members have the right to march and protest of the RNC. Their right to do so lies at the heart of the First Amendment. But the First Amendment does not allow them to protest or parade in any way they choose. Aha. Well, what was interesting here to me is that that fundamental ruling also included a small win for the plaintiffs, the Coalition to March on the RNC. The plaintiffs also included the American Civil Liberties Union. They joined and helped support the coalition's legal effort here. There was another little tidbit in the ruling. Judge Ludwig also ruled that the Commissioner of Public Works and the city could not approve speaker and demonstration applications on the basis of an applicant's criminal history. Isn't that fascinating? You know, so let's just zoom out for a minute, shall we? I think a lot of us...
That just landed and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. Let's think about this. If you asked just... off the top of your head, forget the legal technicalities here. If you asked, you know, 100 average people walking down the street, do you think it makes sense for the city to deny protest permits? That's effectively what these are. Or for any municipality to deny protest permits to people who have a criminal history? Let's even say that it's a specific sort of criminal history, like a criminal history of violence at such protests, right? Or a history of violent crime, not misdemeanor, stupid stuff, but a certain serious level of crime. I would bet like 90% of us would say, of course, that makes perfect sense because this person has a history of potentially, you know, not following the rules and engaging in violence. Well, guess what? That, according to Judge Ludwig, not a valid reason to deny someone a permit to express their First Amendment rights. Isn't that fascinating? So you can carry a gun right into the convention, but if you have a gun conviction, again, you can still go protest. Just all of it seems really kind of, I don't know, it strains common sense a bit. And again, Judge Ludwig is a conservative. He was appointed by Donald Trump during his presidency. What we found out late last night was that the plaintiffs here, who largely lost their case, they are not going to appeal. They have stated that they are going to keep their protests and their parading within the designated routes. They're not going to try to cross into the hard perimeter. I find this, you know, really fascinating because to me, the fundamental question in a lot of the earlier interviews with one of the representatives or spokespersons for the coalition, they seem to readily adopt the stance that, like, yes, we want to disrupt. This is, in effect, some kind of civil disobedience. And the question that it brought to mind for me was, well, to what end, right? Is it purely for the sake of disrupting? Because what concerned me was if you're disrupting the RNC and there is any kind of confrontation with police or Secret Service or FBI or anybody, right? And people who are protesting the convention get arrested. Does anybody really doubt that conservatives and Donald Trump especially would use this to, one, further vilify the city of Milwaukee, and two, trot out this evidence-free argument from January 6th that it was actually Antifa, that there are all these liberal agitators, that this has never been conservatives that have engaged in any kind of violent protest. It's just all these liberal left-wing wingnuts.
I can tell you, though.
My concern. Go ahead, Brian.
If someone from January 6th did show up, and they did have a violent criminal record of doing violent criminal protests, they could be allowed to protest.
Guess what? They get a permit to parade. Mike from Fond du Lac joining our conversation saying this: waiting for the, quote, other side to bring up the 1968 DNC riot. I deal with these fools as it was a turbulent era in history. The Vietnam War, too many dying in war. Again, a different era, bitter times, but they will use that excuse to keep marchers away. Yes, we have a history of political protests and ones that have ended in violent confrontations with police. Of course, the 1968 DNC riot, the Kent State shootings, this is not what we want in our state and in our city. I think the judge's outcome here was correct. We'll see how it pans out with those protest permits. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We're going to talk a bit about NATO and the summit that is going on when we return after your farm update here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
If I can take on 100,000 protesters, I can do the same across the world.
About her, but I don't think I'm giving away my love for free. It seems like a very deep philosophical discussion, does it not, Brian? I don't know.
Since the song has been in my head for like 2 weeks, I've done a deep dive on what love costing would be to anyone, both metaphorical and literal, and everything in between.
All of those things. Yes, Deep Thoughts by Brian and Maggie. This beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Greetings. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. He's Brian Kelly. I am Maggie Dawn. And what is going on in Washington, D.C. is nothing short of monumental. This year is the 75th anniversary of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that is NATO. This is the world's longest and most effective and arguably the strongest military alliance really in history. And of course, if you are a student of history, it came out of World War II. And it has really been the bulwark, the protection of Western democracies against autocratic and fascist regimes since that time. And, you know, all hyperbolic pearl clutching and hand wringing aside, the choice that voters have, whether it is our current president Joe Biden on the ticket or his vice president at the top of the ticket, Kamala Harris, on this single issue alone, I think the vast majority of American voters, if we really looked ourselves straight in the mirror and made a commitment to be truthful, simply on the question of NATO, which begs the question of Ukraine and holding back Russian aggression across Europe, the vote for whomever the Democratic candidate will be, currently Joe Biden, is simply not debatable. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you agree or disagree? You look at NATO alone and how we manage the threat posed by Vladimir Putin and Russia. On this issue alone, everything else pales, I think, to a certain degree. And on this issue alone would simply be a clear case for voting for currently Joe Biden and whomever else the Democratic Party might even conceive of to run at the top of the presidential ticket this year. Let's be honest about where NATO was at the end of Donald Trump's presidency. I mean, right, let's just step back. NATO had been severely weakened. Trump had attacked it at nearly every turn. Now, I'm not going to say that Donald Trump and other Democrats, including Joe Biden's, that the criticisms about the financial commitment of all NATO members weren't justified. They are and they remain justified. The United States has been the single largest funder of NATO, the single largest provider of military support, and it is fair and appropriate to demand more from our NATO allies in terms of commitment of both money and military hardware and airplanes, missile defense systems, all of that. Yes, but we should be sophisticated enough, and we should demand a president who is sophisticated enough to be able to hold two competing and difficult thoughts in her minds at the same time, that we can criticize our allies in NATO for not meeting their funding obligations, and more on that in a moment. We can criticize our allies in NATO for not giving more, for not contributing more military equipment, know-how, training, all of that. We can do that. We can have that tough discussion, and we should, and we are. And at the same time, we should be able to say that the U.S. support of NATO and the importance of NATO to defend our allies in Europe and Western democracy is simply irrefutable. In my opinion, the fact that Donald Trump can't seem to hold two competing ideas about anything in his mind at the same time is a serious and fundamental problem. You want to talk about a cognition issue? I'll give you a cognition problem. The man can't handle two competing ideas. He doesn't understand anything about what to do when our values collide. Here, as it relates to NATO, fiscal responsibility. Right? That's a value. That's what we all agree with that. I agree with that. I describe myself today, Brian, as a very stereotypical Gen Xer. And by that, I meant when it comes to government spending, I tend to be one that wants the proof. I want to see that a program is working, that it is efficient and effective, that looks at regulations and says, is this working? Is this the best way to do that? And if it's not, to demand some change, while at the same time being incredibly socially liberal. It's sort of a characteristic, I think, of a lot of people from my generation. And so here we look at that value of being fiscally responsible in the United States, requiring our allies to meet their obligations as we have met ours and should continue to do so. We can understand that value. We can also at the same time understand that we can't walk away from NATO, that a president that indicates or even suggests that we would walk away from NATO is not someone who ever should set foot in the Oval Office, because NATO is again the bulwark protecting Western democracy, that it is in our safety and national security interest above all to stand by our military alliances. This is one of those issues that fires me up, because we need to be able to hold competing thoughts in our head, discuss when our values are in conflict, and come to reasonable conclusions about these things, to not accept the simplified talking points. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Agree, disagree, especially if you're a conservative but not named CJ, I definitely want to hear from you. Karina from Milwaukee, did we lose her, Brian, or do I have her on the line?
Give me a moment. Let me check her out.
Okay. Okay, great. Matt from Middleton says this on our text line. Know and believe in history. NATO was formed because of what Russia is and has been throughout history. Expansionist. Trump and his acolytes will mean a lot more people dying, period. Thank you, Matt from Middleton. Derek, a new texter from Wausau. Welcome, Derek. I appreciate your texting. Maggie, thank you for doing the Lord's work. Oh, I appreciate that, Derek. Keep protecting our values as Americans and keeping the people informed. I try my best. Derek says he absolutely loves us. As a gay man, I love that you stand with me. We stand together every day, Derek. The way that we define the rights for you and for me, define the rights for all. It's simple. It is that simple every day. Returning to NATO, I want to drill down a bit. During Joe Biden's presidency, the number of countries that are meeting their financial contributions to NATO has gone up dramatically. NATO was at the brink of fracture by the end of Donald Trump's presidency. Today, it is stronger than ever. We added two countries to NATO, expanding the total number of countries in the alliance to 38. This is absolutely essential. Trump literally said this. He would let Russia, quote, do whatever the hell they want, end quote, to our NATO allies if they don't meet their financial contributions. I'm sorry to point this out to the lying MAGA former president. But that's not the way military alliances work. Let me put it to you this way. If you go out to your dinner multiple times with your best friend, or you've been in fisticuffs with your best friend, or your best friend has gotten into fisticuffs at a bar, and your friend's not a very good fighter, what do you do? Oh, well, you're not a very good fighter, so I'm going to let you get your butt kicked at the bar. Nope, you stand up for your friend, even if you happen to be the bigger, burlier person who knows how to fight. That we know that, that those are sort of playground rules, but that doesn't seem to get through Donald Trump's thick head. You go out to dinner with your best friend, they can't pay because they're on hard times. What do you do? Well, you don't get to eat, just watch me eat. We know this intuitively at a very, very base level. Again, kindergarten rules, playground rules. The way that we operate and care about one another, that, frankly, that grotesque oversimplification that I just gave you all indicates this isn't how you deal with military alliances when you have an enemy of America, Russia, an authoritarian in Putin, someone who violates human rights every day, basically saying they're going to march through Europe. It's just ridiculous to me. I don't understand. I'm going to quote the Danish prime minister. She was on MSNBC. Her name is Mette Frederiksen. She said that the war in Ukraine, we need to stop talking about it as a war in Ukraine. She said, this is a war in Europe. This is Russia invading Europe. And we need to start reframing this in our heads because that starts to point us to what a grave and serious threat this is. And it's not just the military aggression. It is cybersecurity. They're targeting energy grids, not just in Ukraine. This is Vladimir Putin, a bully, seeing how far they can push us. That is what is happening. And Donald Trump poses a real and present danger to the NATO alliance, which would be absolutely disastrous for our national security. Let's take a bit of a listen. Joe Biden gave a speech yesterday at the basically commencement of the NATO conference. Let's take a bit of a listen. Brian, we're gonna take as much of this sound as we can, and we're gonna ask if people want to pop in and have a discussion. Let's listen to President Biden yesterday at the NATO conference.
And we know Putin won't stop at Ukraine, but make no mistake, Ukraine can and will stop Putin. And Putin wants nothing less than Ukraine's total subjugation, to end Ukraine's democracy, destroy Ukraine's culture, and to wipe Ukraine off the map. And when the United States was attacked on September 11th, our NATO allies, all of you, stood with us, invoking Article 5 for the first time in NATO history. Only 9 NATO allies are spending 2% of their defense GDP on defense. This year, 23 will spend at least 2%. Today, I'm announcing the historic donation of air defense equipment for Ukraine. The United States, Germany, the Netherlands, Romania, and Italy will provide Ukraine with the equipment. And in the coming months, the United States and our partners intend to provide Ukraine with dozens of additional tactical air defense systems. This is a pivotal moment for Europe, for the transatlantic community, and I might add for the world. Let's remember, the fact that NATO remains the bulwark of global security did not happen by accident. When the Russian war on Ukraine began, you didn't hesitate. Today, NATO is stronger, smarter, and more energized than when you began.
You know, the president is right. I also think what a dynamic speech he gave yesterday. Granted, he's reading from a teleprompter, but not the same guy. What's really interesting is that the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, is at the NATO summit. I'm going to talk a bit about that when we come back after these very, very brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We're talking about the protection of our democracy. A little lightweight topic here on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Coming to you live from downtown Waukesha, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Back in just a moment.
But there's nothing I can think of that I'd rather do than have Russia...
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escaped sleep.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Ready or not, here we come. Every day at 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We're talking about the NATO summit. You know, President Biden's remarks yesterday just stand in such sharp contrast to virtually any and everything that Donald Trump has ever said about NATO. And if you think this is a partisan question that only Democrats care about NATO, first of all, Google a little foreign policy. It used to be that Republicans were the foreign policy hawks, right? Like that was the sort of typical conservative viewpoint that we would absolutely stand by NATO and our military alliances, that we would always present a unified defense and opposition to Vladimir Putin in Russia. This is where we have always been. And Donald Trump simply is not a conservative. He is not a Republican. The platform that I'm going to talk about with Tom Paulswitz starting at the 3 o'clock hour makes that plain. This isn't Republicanism. It's Trumpicanism. That is it. There is no longer any fidelity to conservative principles or norms. It tries to look like that, but it's not. And the example and looking at what Donald Trump has said at NATO summits back when he was president and comparing it to Joe Biden's position and what Joe Biden has done to solidify NATO puts that in such sharp relief. Now, if you continue to labor under the misimpression that this is a Democratic talking point, well, let's listen to Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about how critical NATO is. This is Mitch McConnell yesterday, also providing a welcome at the NATO summit.
I mean, this is clearly the most dangerous period since right before World War II. So completely unrelated to who happens to be in the White House at the moment. We need to step up. And a good time to emphasize that is while NATO is celebrating its 75th anniversary right here in Washington. We need to make it clear that we're behind NATO.
Duh. I mean, I don't understand. This is so hard for Donald Trump to get through his mind. And I'll just say this. Please, please, we all should be asking ourselves with sincerity, why is it that Donald Trump is such a fan of Vladimir Putin when everyone else in the country, if they're being truthful, knows that Vladimir Putin poses a real and everyday threat to the United States and our way of life and democratic principles and values everywhere? We all know that. What is Donald Trump's and what explains his obsession with Putin? Is it simply that he wants them to, you know, engage in more election interference? Okay, possibly. But maybe it's more than that. And that's what really scares me. We know that, no, thanks courtesy to the Supreme Court, that presidents are kings. What does it mean if the man running on the Republican ticket for president thinks that Vladimir Putin is a really great guy, that he wants Americans to treat him like the subjugated people of North Korea treat Kim Jong-un?
We'd like to have Russia's help. Very important.
Yes, which brings me to Viktor Orban. He is the prime minister of Hungary. He is, by all measures, an authoritarian, posing or trying to pass himself off as a democratically elected leader. Policies under Viktor Orban in Hungary look a lot like what Project 2025 is being heralded as by the Heritage Foundation and the far right as the great blueprint for the United States, meaning fewer rights for the LGBTQ community, oppressive speech laws, and a whole gamut of turning back away from civil rights and human rights. It is worthy of note that the Heritage Foundation's president has visited Viktor Orban in Hungary a number of times. The Heritage Foundation hosted Viktor Orban when he visited the United States just a few months back. You know where else Viktor Orban went to? Mar-a-Lago, hung out with Donald Trump. That's who the Heritage Foundation and Donald Trump think is a great leader. And what has Viktor Orban done with respect to Vladimir Putin and the Ukraine war? This, according to the New York Times, Viktor Orban yet once again seeming to side with Putin on the invasion of Ukraine. He traveled to meet Mr. Putin in Russia. He shakes hands with him. He has all but come out and stated emphatically that Hungary is taking Russia's side in the Ukraine war. What? And this is the guy that the Heritage Foundation, with their crackpot plan for the future of America, and Donald Trump are buddies with. So just to get this straight, Viktor Orban, buddy of Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump and the Heritage Foundation, buddy of Viktor Orban. We already knew all of this all out in the public forums and in the one Google away. It is so disturbing to me. Let's take a couple calls. Ross from Middleton, what do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hi, Maggie. Hey, Brian. So my two cents worth on the Republican Party changing their sort of world view. I think we're living in a time where the whole American country, the American country, the American people, quote, are sort of changing their alliances. So my angle is on what's happening with the Republicans and their sort of their worldview is it's made up of a lot of, not all, but made up a lot of like working class people who have, and I'm thinking like men and women that went to Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq. And as difficult as it is to say, I think they were all kind of failures. And I think a lot of these, what I call working class blue collar people who used to go when their country called them, are tired of going. And so I don't think these people were ever really super aware of world issues. It was just they would go what their country called, and I think they're tired of going.
Ross, I think you've hit on something really important there. But isolationism isn't the answer, right? And that's the moment that we seem to find ourselves in. You are on the line. Stay there. I will take you. It's got to take news, weather, and sports. Top of the hour, Dick and Mark. I see you on the lines. We'll take you after. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I returned a bag of groceries accidentally.